friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Know what's really going on with your Cleveland Browns. Get the latest information directly from the source. Download the official Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads. Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere. Very excited to bring on now the first signing of the Ray Farmer era as general manager, returning on a one-year deal, just over $1 million a season, the kicker, Billy Cundiff, who joins us now. Billy, first of all, welcome back to the squad. How's it feel to have that link to Ray Farmer as the first guy he signed back?
We're definitely excited to be coming back. I enjoyed my season last year. Obviously, we wanted more wins, but I'm excited to get back to work and see what we can accomplish this year and see if we can get this thing turned around.
Very happy for you, Billy. And I want to go in this direction because we had this discussion with you, probably anybody who talked with you media-wise, multiple times leading into the season and then during the year, and now I bring it up in this context. To me, this is a little bit of a closure of a circle because there was so much hand-wringing, so much question, what are they going to do about filling the Phil Dawson void? And you came in and dealt with that pressure, I think, about as well as anyone could, and you took it to another level with your great success with touchbacks. Is there a little sense of, I know you never can feel any security in this league or in this game or in your role, but do you feel something that, you know, with all those questions that lingered, that now you find yourself with this team extending your contract?
I guess you could say a little bit. I think for us, the focus really is just about trying to be as consistent as I possibly can and trying to get settled. Yeah, that is true. That is the case. I enjoyed my time in Cleveland. That's the thing. I really enjoyed working with Coach Tabor. So when the opportunity came to come back, we did have the opportunity to test for agency, but why would I do that? Especially considering how well I get along with Spencer and Christian. Those two guys work really hard. I felt like we developed some good rapport during the season. So let's see what we can do when we actually have an off season together and get a chance to really make a good run at it year two.
Right. You came into this thing late last year, but still went on to have only 31% of your kickoffs returned, fifth best in the NFL, average opponent start 20.3, seventh best in the league. So a phenomenal season, especially on kickoffs. On a season where there wasn't a whole lot of continuity in the offseason, to know that Chris Tabor was back, how comfortable was that for you and how important was that for you in your decision to come back?
It was big, really big. I enjoy working with Coach Tabor, that's the thing. Like, I just enjoy him as a person and also as a coach. I feel like there's a lot of guys that come across in the league that they're great coaches and all, but a lot of times guys really just don't get the feeling that they care about them as a player and as a person. Coach Tabor really he's a great teacher of the game. He really does a great job of developing talent. Obviously, everybody that watched our team last year, and we had really young special teams guys. I was amazed at the patience that he showed and the ability to continue to coach guys week in and week out. When we're turning over the bottom third of the roster, he's still getting guys to play hard, and that's a really tough thing to do.
Billy Cundiff joins us. Of course, he's a kicker for the Browns and just had his contract extension done with the team. And, Billy, a lot of buzz about your position and about your role in the league with a proposed rule that would move extra points further out to make it a 43-yard kick. And I guess the specific yardage had something to do with the percentages that go into it as being a harder kick to make and taking out that automatic slash boring nature of extra points. Not going to be boring for you, and I'm sure it isn't when you tried it the conventional way, a lot easier said than done, but how do you view the possibility of extra points now going that far out?
Well, it's funny. I've had a couple different conversations today with different people, and the one thing that I try to tell people is I think it's just gimmicky, to be honest with you. And they're trying to make too much out of it. The people that are in Cleveland understand that a 43-yard field goal in Cleveland is not the same as it is in St. Louis or Detroit. And you're also essentially creating an extra point that's 43 yards, but you're going to give a team 3 points when I kick a 25-yard field goal that's in the flow of the game when the offense stalls. Like, there's just too much. They're overthinking it. I think that they could address the same issue by simply just bringing the goalpost in. If you made the goalpost more narrow, you're going to bring down field goal percentages. You're going to bring down extra point percentages. It's just like, don't try to overthink it. You know, we're the one position, along with, I've told other people, the DBs seem to be the other position where they're going to make a bunch of rules to try to, you know, change our advantage in a way. Like we used to be able to kick off of a 3-inch tee. Now we're down to a 1-inch tee, and they actually moved the kickoffs up, which was strange enough that actually helped us out. But we've got the K balls, we got all kinds of different things to try to force us to, to force us to make our job tougher. So I just don't think they really need to overthink this issue. If they want percentages to go down, bring the goalposts in and call it a day.
And with regard to the extra point, I just want to hear this from a kicker. Is it ever always that automatic do it in your sleep type of approach? Is that how, because that's really what's driven this, is the thought that nobody wants to, I never, until this got brought up by the commissioner, I never heard anyone say, boy, I hate that extra point play. But if that's the case, I just want to know from your standpoint, you talked about Christian Yount, you talked about Spencer Lanning, your holder, Yount snapping. I mean, it's still an operation to carry off that point that is so easy to the rest of us.
Yeah, and obviously statistics are pointing in one direction, saying that it's almost a gimme just because of the numbers and the percentages. But any football player and football coach tell you that when you get a block and you change the complexion of the game, that it really, you know, it shifts things in your power. And for people to say there's a gimme, there's no such thing as a gimme play in football. There's just not. I used an example earlier today that how about that, you know, pass that you go out to the flat to the fullback, supposed to be just a little gimme dump off, but all of a sudden the linebacker jumps it and goes for six. Like the play that was supposed to be a gimme, which was a 5-yard pass, there's no such thing. It just does not happen. And even though, again, percentages are continue to increase for the conversion rate, I just don't think you take away that play. I think you're just messing with things too much. You're overthinking it.
I remember in Seattle 2 years ago, David Akers kicked a field goal from the 2, which is essentially an extra point, and it was blocked and returned for a touchdown. So certainly anything can happen. I like it. Keep it simple. Now, Billy, before you came on, we were asked what we're going to do once this weather gets better here in Cleveland, and the first thing I said was play golf. And I understand your charity, the Colleen's Dream Foundation, had a charity golf outing in Arizona 2 weeks ago. Tell me a little bit about the foundation and also about that golf outing just so I can be jealous.
Yeah, no, we had a great first year as an organization. We were able to give away over $83,000 in research grants to support young investigators doing ovarian cancer research. We have a focus on early detection research because there's no early detection test for ovarian cancer. But in our first year, we became the largest privately funded ovarian cancer-specific organization in Arizona. So it was a really, really good first year. Our Kicking for the Dream project, which Spencer and I were involved with, we were able to raise over $20,000 that went to the Cleveland Clinic to support research there. We had a bunch of other NFL guys get involved. But our golf tournament, amazing success. We were truly blessed. We sold out the event. We couldn't actually have more golfers because they ran out of carts. So that was great. We had a black tie event the night after that, and we raised a little over $100,000 for the weekend. So we're off to a great start, and we're really excited about the things that are happening, the research that's being performed, because we do want to make an impact. We want to have an early detection test. That's why we're doing all this stuff. We want to make sure that the women of future generations don't have to go through the same thing, unfortunately, that my mother-in-law had to go through.
Oh, that's awesome.
And
the Twitter handle on that, at Colleen's Dream, Colleen's Dream. Hey, Billy, you know that there's all kinds of renovations going on at First Energy Stadium. It's going to have a whole new look by the time you get to see it, I guess, or when the Browns play their first preseason game there. Have you had any thoughts about, because I know Phil Dawson was always all over the different angles of how the wind comes in and moves and around. Do you suspect that, you know, putting some of the new infrastructure in there is going to actually affect wind patterns and all the things that you and other kickers worry about?
Well, I think it will. I think back to what Green Bay did, adding all that big infrastructure in their one end zone that used to be open. And when we played there this year, the wind was completely different than the last time I played there. Now, granted, the last time I played there was 2004, so. I had a Monday night game, but I got a concussion, so I didn't really play that game. I don't really remember much of that one. But the other point being is that the wind changed. But you're going to have to wait and see, because obviously it is windy in Cleveland. I remember our first game of the year, my first game when I hadn't really kicked in the stadium besides playing against the Browns in a while. And we got a 25-mile-per-hour wind whipping across the field. So just have to wait and see what happens, because the wind is always variable in that stadium. Really, it's tough to gauge. And you just got to go off of what you're feeling that day.
Billy, obviously you've been here in a short period of time, and there's been a multitude of changes in that short period of time. Have you got a chance to talk with Coach Pettine? And if so, or if not, what are your overall impressions of him, and what are you looking forward to about playing for his team in 2014?
Yeah, he shot me a text yesterday just congratulating me and saying he was excited I was on board. So it was nice for him to reach out. Obviously, I'll get a chance to meet him when I get in town. But I've heard nothing but good things about him. A lot of people that I had contact with in Baltimore, they said great things about him. The guys I knew from the Jets from my time there, they talked the world of him. So he's got a great reputation around the league. Obviously, he comes kind of from the Rex Ryan group of coaches, which believe that players play. You got to put him in a position to be successful and just let him go. So I'm excited to see what happens. I know that we're going to obviously have a good defense, and I think things are going to get turned around with the offense, and we'll make a good run at it. I'd like to be a part of the team. That's the reason why I came back. I like it. It's a good challenge. Obviously, you know, playing in Cleveland is one of the toughest places to play in the league, kicking-wise, but I'd also like to be a part of a team that, you know, gets things turned around and gives the fans what they need and what they want, which is a winning season.
Yes, yeah, they do. Well said, Billy.
Great attitude. Great stuff. Hey, Billy, thank you again for taking the time, and we want to remember to tell folks about Colleen's Dream. At Colleen's Dream is the Twitter handle, this charity, which is a tremendous thing. As you said, early detection of ovarian cancer is the goal there, and appreciate what you do there. Appreciate everything else you do in and around Cleveland, and we look forward to seeing you when you get back in town, buddy.
I'm excited to come back. I appreciate it, guys.
All right. Billy Cundiff.
I like it. You know what I like so much about that? He said it multiple times. I want to be in Cleveland. I want to be on this team. I want to be part of the turnaround. I want to be here. And I like that about Billy Cundiff.
Yeah, and that's a message that, you know, we don't hear a lot of lately because the conversation hasn't involved a lot of players or their chance to talk because, you know, the end of the season, it's this time of year, and there have been a lot of upheaval and changes. But when you get a guy who, first of all, put his name behind it, signing the contract, and then says what he says, I'm with you on that, Nathan. That's a good message to deliver. We're going to get more great stuff from Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network, and he will talk about the draft and the Browns. And this is the guy who says he was told the Browns were targeting Derek Carr as their quarterback. We want to hear who he heard that from and what he has to say about that now. It's been a couple of weeks since we had that. That's coming up next on a Friday edition of CBD. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, ESPN 850 WKNR.